Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP celebrating a Commanders playoff win. It had been 20 years. On a Victory Monday brought to you by Chiniga Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Join us right now, this guy who wore the uniform, played corner for him, our pal Fred Smoot. What's up, Fred?
Smooty.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing on this Victory Monday?
How's it feel for you? Because you're still a fan, and this team has struggled for so many years. You've covered them. To finally see them win a playoff game.
Did we lose them? Are we getting a bad sell? We're in a bad sell. We're in a bad Smooty. Sell. I didn't do anything. Let me see. Hold on.
Smooty.
I didn't do anything.
Mm. While we're trying to figure that
I'm
out.
I'm calling back.
Should thank. This is what happens on a Victory Monday.
Yeah.
A listener just Venmo'd Drab $50 for us to get breakfast. And we got McDonald's. We had to.
It's good man.
We had some machinations to figure it out to like get the Venmo. He shipped me Venmo. Did Uber Eats. But it worked out. Cakes has a big old iced coffee over
so
there.
Delicious.
That's what happens when you win playoff games. You start giving money away.
Yeah, you say free. You get free and easy with the cash. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Plus, I got a BOGO. I have a sandwich for tomorrow, too.
All right, so we'll see what happens with Fred. We wanted to ask him about Marshawn Lattimore in particular. I know at halftime, PFF put up the individual matchup. It was 4-for-4 for like 50-plus yards and the touchdown for Mike Evans against Marshawn Lattimore. So second half, I know Collinsworth made a point of it that they clearly made a defensive adjustment, and it wasn't Lattimore Island just following around Mike Evans.
No, you can't call him Lattimore. You can't give him the Revis Island treatment.
That's why I said it wasn't.
Not at this point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Come on.
I don't know. I've told you for 2 weeks now I've been nervous about this. He wasn't challenged in the New Orleans game. The Philly game, he had a million penalties, and it didn't look great.
I feel like they acquired damaged goods.
Yeah, there could
personally,
be.
Personally, at this point.
It's also an excellent receiver and a really good quarterback.
Understood? It is, no doubt.
Yeah, but this is why they acquired him, to cover Evans, St. Brown, or Williams, whoever he covers on
Sunday.
You know
what? We'll ask Fred, see what he's seeing.
Yeah.
Fred, what's up, buddy? You there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here, fellas.
All right. What are you seeing with Marshawn? I mean, do you see like a hesitation? Do you see like what are you seeing? Because why is he seemingly struggling? Is it simply because he's playing elite receivers?
No, you have to understand when you play the cornerback position, it's a flawed position from the door.
Right.
And understanding that this guy was acquired mid-season and you asking him to come in and be your number one guy, the one thing Champ Bailey told me the first week I made it here was if you're going to be a number one corner, you need to realize that you're going to get 12 to 14 attempts because they're not going to stop throwing to your number one receiver just because you lined up on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge inside of itself. People don't understand how hard that job is. And what Marshawn gives you is a guy that's willing to fight. And if you got a guy that's willing to go out there and fight, you got a guy that's go out there and give you a chance to win. It's like baseball and being a hitter. If I can go 4-for-10, I can be an all-star. Like, it's a very flawed position.
Yeah.
I will say that a couple of those plays, the Baker, his throws were just on point. Like, I didn't think that Marshawn had horrible coverage. It was just a great throw. It was a laser. And Evans is a big dude, so if you're behind him and it's a laser, you're not going to stop that.
He turned him around one time, though. He definitely turned him around one time.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect. But I felt like Baker Mayfield put Evans in some good spots.
Well, here's the thing about it. When you're dealing with receivers over 6'2", they have what we call a big catch radius, and they also can catch bad thrown balls because they do have such a big catch radius. And when you're talking about Mike Evans, you're talking about 11 consecutive years with 1,000 yards, so he's done this to everybody. And the one person that's kind of been his kryptonite is our guy, Marshawn Lattimore. But you also got to understand, man, that it's a thin line when it comes to that position.
Fred, who was the Mike Evans of your era? Was it Randy Moss? Is it somebody else that I'm not thinking of at this point? Who would you comp him to?
You had your Randy Mosses, you had your Terrell Owens, you had your Plexico Burns. You had so many tall guys. You had your Mike Williams, you had your Megatrons, you had a ton of dudes with a lot of length that can get out there and run and that can make plays in the red zone. So it's been a ton of these guys.
I'm ignorant of defense. I don't understand it. But, like, why was he playing off him so many times? He's such a physical guy. Let's get him up there tight. I did see a little bit in the second half. He did a little of that. But why not more tighter coverage?
Because he wants to play with vision. And if you want to play with vision, you have to step off and play it like 6 or 7, 8 yards to get your pedal so you can read. Like, everything can't be pressed. Like, whatever Coach Wick called, that's what he has to play. And inside of those plays, because some of those coverages look like man coverage, but some of that's with match coverage, where they actually matching coverage with the corner and the safety. Mm-hmm. Certain routes get handed off and certain routes don't get handed off. And for me to see everything clearly and see the route patterns clearly, I need to play it from off instead of playing press man.
So do you have any problem with what you saw, like, technique-wise or his approach? You think it was A-okay?
Come on, fellas, listen to me. He held him under 100 yards. I know it started off, and it kind of looked like he was running away with it, but Mike Evans did not go under 100. They did enough to go out there and win the game. It was a totally team victory. Offense showed up. Defense showed up. Special teams made plays when it was time for them to make plays. I'm sorry. When you're playing in the playoffs, the other team deserved to be there also. So you're going to play against another top-notch team. Plays will be made by the other team. We will never play the perfect game, but it was perfect enough for me because we won by 3, and that's all that matters. And plus now, we headed to Detroit, and we ain't going to buy no Cadillac. So I'm fine with that.
I love it. All right, I want to get your take then, because you have a more sophisticated eye than all of us, on Brian Robinson and the running game in general struggles. I'm going to defend Brian in this sense that, I mean, clearly the production hasn't been there the last few weeks, but like yesterday, I don't know where the yardage was. He seemed to be hit behind the line of scrimmage quite a bit. There was very little room from what I could see from my couch.
Well, guess what? That's why you have a Vita Vea, 340 pounds of a man inside to stop the run. You got Clancy, and you got Vontae Davis, and you got literally like this was a Super Bowl defense literally like 3 years ago. So this team was made for the playoff. This team was made to stop the run. And yeah, I think a lot of B-Rob struggles have came from a couple of wild boys, B-Oddish and the rest of them being hurt in and out the lineup.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of messed things up on that one. And then we also asked Zay Daniels to be Superman and him take over the running thing. So it's one of those things where it's a little bit of everything. Could it be his injuries catching up to him? Could it be that people are catching up to the run game and we have to switch it up ourselves? I just think it's different levels to it, and you can't just point at one thing because no running back has got in there and done what we've done at the beginning of the year. So it's not really a one-person thing. It's a team problem that needs to be solved.
Hey, should we be giving Washington's defense a little more credit? They did hold Tampa to 20 points.
Yes, you should. Like, think about this. These guys, this is the same team that Tampa team went to Detroit and beat Detroit. This is the same Tampa team that gave everybody fits all year. Baker Mayfield had a hell of a year. I know he turned the ball over a little bit more than any other coach would want, but Baker had a hell of a year. Mike Evans had a hell of a year. Bucky Irvin ran the ball, and this team went blow for blow with them. We've watched this defense from week 10 get better and better week in and week out. No, have they had their perfect game yet? No, they haven't had the perfect game yet. But do they make timely stops? Do they make timely turnovers? Yes, they do. Bobby Wagner showed why he's going to be a future Yellow Jackie yesterday. He stole from the first quarter to the fourth quarter that he came to bring pain. So I think these guys are playing great ball off of each other, and that's what made this team grow. The same team that Tampa seen week one, this was not the same team that they seen the first week of the playoffs because they are a different team that's matured and learned how to play together.
All right, so since you mentioned the Lions – and you mentioned Tampa knocking off the Lions. We were talking about it amongst ourselves, and we each described the chance that Washington has against the Detroit Lions, whether it was a good chance, a reasonable chance, a decent chance. Bish says a limited chance. How does Fred Smoot see this matchup against the Lions?
Anytime we go out on the field and we got Jedi 5 on the quarterback, we got a chance to win. Anytime we go on the field and Dan Quinn is over there coaching on that sideline to bring you guys together, we got a chance to win. It ain't no team in the NFL that we're scared of that we cannot beat. We can score on anybody, and if Jedi 5 has the ball last in this offense, everybody knows. There's no – like yesterday, with the 4 minutes left, when we seen that our offense had the ball, the whole DMV knew we was going down there to score. This is a new world order. This is something that we've never felt. And I understand people don't know how to react to it sometimes and speak highly of it sometimes, but it's no team that this team is afraid of. Any place, anywhere, anytime, these guys ready to play football. So it ain't no team that I think we're afraid of.
Smoothie, what's your thought on the philosophy and the mentality of DQ to go for a bunch of fourth downs, 3 for 5 in this game, 87% coming into the game, which I don't know, that was a crazy number. I couldn't believe that when I saw that. But what's your philosophy on going for so many fourth downs, especially on the road?
I love it. Just think about this. With Coach Dan Quinn versus Coach Dan Campbell, they might as well just lead a punter at home, because both of these offenses go for it on fourth down all the time. It makes it hard for a defense to prepare for you, because think about it. If you go for a fourth down, you don't need but 2.5 yards per game to get a first down. So it's very, very hard to stop you when they know that you go for it on fourth down at a high clip. And both of the teams that are about to see next Sunday – go for it on fourth down. It's the ultimate equalizer. When you got a running quarterback, he becomes the ultimate equalizer. Plus, he's a force multiplier. I mean, he's making everybody around him better. That's why you see guys like downtown De'Ami Brown go make plays yesterday, because when you got a quarterback, you have a chance, and we got that.
All right, so I want you to be defensive coordinator this week. Give me the matchups. Give me the philosophy. Who are you putting Lattimore on? Who are you? You know, who's going to cover Jameson Williams?
How are you going to stop Gibbs?
How are you going to stop Gibbs? You coordinate this defense. How would you do it?
Yeah. First of all, I know this is going to sound funny. I'm going to force them to throw the ball. I cannot let you run the ball with speed and knuckles. I cannot let you dictate this game on the ground. I cannot let you show your physicality. We're going to have to force you to throw that ball, and I'm not moving my corners. I'm keeping them left and right. I'm keeping Sanders Steele on the left. I'm keeping Lattimore on the right, and I'm understanding that both y'all going to have to check Jameson. Both y'all going to have to take a Rossé Brown. They don't worry about that, but I'm going to put my safety in the box. I'm going to put Chin in the box, and I'm going to have him to live a physical pain most of the time. I'm going to force you to beat me with your quarterback. I'm going to have to force you to beat me with your game plan. I'm going to force you to beat me with your offensive line. Think about it. If I had to really go and say, let's match and see who has the best this and the best this, I think the best offensive line that we played all year long has been the Philadelphia Eagles. The complete group is the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the best running back we have faced this year has been Saquon Barkley. Even that, we're going to play these guys next week. So we've played better competition. We can beat these guys. Believe it, baby. It's real.
Fred, how fun was it being a Commanders ambassador along with B. Mitch at the Commanders pregame at the bar in Tampa when Josh Harris bought a round of Bud Lights for everybody? And are you following the team to Detroit? Maybe you're the good luck charm, Fred.
Wait. No. I was here. I was at the MGM where Josh Harris bought everybody there. Bud Lights bought everybody there beer. I was here handing out beer 2 days ago at bars all around the National Harbor because the ownership felt like they need to hand out more beers to everybody. So when you have great leadership, you have a chance. So, yes, if I'm the good luck charm, so be it. I don't care. I think this team is the good luck charm. I think the way that they believe in themselves when nobody else believes in them, we are one of the best fourth quarter teams of the last decade. Nobody talks when Kansas City wins by 3 every week because it's just what they do. But when we do it, people find a way to tell us that win just wasn't good enough. Well, it's good enough for me because we're moving on to the next to the next level of the playoffs.
Smoothie, this team was 4-13 last year, as you know. They are 13-5. I mean, can you even fathom that? I mean, have you ever seen anything like a 1 year turnaround like that?
I have never seen a 1 year turnaround like this, and not just a 1 year turnaround. Like, we've had years where we have run that we didn't come back the next year thinking, oh, we're going to be even better. Well, people need to understand, this is ground zero. This is year 1.5 for the ownership. This is year 1 for Dan Quinn. This is year 1 for Coach Witt. Like, this is how dare I say this? This could be the worst we're going to be for the next decade. That's scary to people. All right, that's scary to people that doubt. That's scary to people that think it's the same old Washington. And that's scary to the rest of the NFL because ain't nothing harder on the NFL than the nation capital, America's real team. All right, coming back to spirits and this fan base, the waking up a silent giant that's been asleep for so long, that's scary to everybody. So I understand why they don't want to believe and why they non-believers. I totally do.
Smoot, always love talking to you.
Good stuff, bro.
Hey, anytime, fellas, man. Hey, enjoy y'all Victory Monday with all the libations that you can drink, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, you too, Smoot. Pal. Safe trip back. Thank you, buddy.
He's trying to look up his best seasons as a pro. He never had a 12-win season. They had some decent teams. I was with Santana Moss on Friday.
Yeah.
By the way, that appearance at the Verizon store. Mm-hmm, he'd thank the people who came out. There were some Junkies listeners who came out.
Very good.
First hour, no Santana Moss. He showed up in the second hour.
Oh, okay.
It's a much longer hour. You know what I mean?
Is that brutal?
I mean, whatever. My guy Carl came. There were a couple listeners who came out.
And then it picked up immediately?
Yeah, there were a lot of people actually who were there in the first hour who were waiting for Santana Moss.
There had to be a lot of, where's Santana? When is Santana showing up?
You know what?
I'm guessing that was the vibe.
I think in the future, don't book me for any of those. It's just too much of a, it's just too much of an ego destroyer.
Put you in your place.
I get small enough ego as it is. I can barely hold on.
Was there a traffic issue or did he just think the appearance was?
No, I think he was slated to be there from 5 to 6.
Oh, so
I was slated to be there from 4 to 6.
Yeah.
Ah, I got you. I'm not sure. Did Smoot ever play in a playoff game here?
Maybe in Minnesota.
I have to look.
Know.
Not sure.
I think in Minnesota he did, but I'm not sure about.
Well, Smoot was here. His first stint was 2001 through 2004. I'd have to look up Gibbs. They were in the playoffs in 2005, so I guess he missed that. And then 2007 through 2009.
Okay, 07, they lost the wild card in 07. All right, so he played in one, probably.
Coming up next, Joe Theismann joins us. We will talk to the legendary Washington quarterback next on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Mios, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.